Hallelujah. Do you love the word of God? Say, I love the word of God. Now, just let's lay a foundation for what we'll be sharing for a while on covenant. Say covenant. Shout to say covenant. That's weak. Say covenant. Let's look at Deuteronomy 7, 9 to 11. Father, we thank you because the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Thank you for utterance. Thank you for a door of utterance that is open. Thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the one who stands by me, who works in me both to will and do of your pleasure, the one who comes upon me for power. We ask that he will help us to dispense this word with precision and clarity. Help us lay this foundation and reveal Jesus to every heart. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I see our pastor friend, Pastor Tokwe, in the house. Celebrate him all the way from King's Court. I'll need somebody to help me read, you know, on the microphone so that we'll go quickly. Deuteronomy 7, 9 to 11. Deuteronomy 7, 9 to 11. The subject of covenant is so broad that, you know, it's not something that anyone can exhaust. So, because it's so deep, we're just going to, you know, focus on the core things, the things that are important, very, very important, and maybe not the tiny, tiny details. But I'm trusting God that as we begin this series, evil covenants will be broken. This is also a prophetic service, and I give you the right to stand up and dance when you have to dance. How many of you, yes, I was going to do the dance. How many of you have touched something from the dance? All of a sudden, everybody is talking about the dance. Pastor Jerry, the same day Dunsi and I got the revelation, he was recording NSPPD, and he spoke about dance. Prophet Tiffany, dance. Everywhere I go, I see that dance. It's a mystery. Amen. It's a secret and open secret. It's a hidden and open secret of victory and dominion. Amen. So in this season, spend time dancing in the spirit. Say in the spirit. In the spirit does not mean that it has to have beat or rhythm or please anybody. You are dancing like you learned unto the Lord. You are abasing yourself, you are humbling yourself to him. You are engaging in halal. Halal is to be clamorously foolish before God. Halal is to rejoice before him. Halal is to boast in God. And, you know, and when you dance and, you know, deploy kara, which means to turn around, whirlwind, you are also prophesying a turnaround. Amen. That's why you've heard some of the testimonies you are sharing. So take it seriously. Let's read. One, two, go. Now,
know therefore
that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keepeth his covenant to a thousand generations. Let's stop there. Hallelujah. 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 Say with me, God is a covenant making and a covenant keeping God. Let me show you the scripture that shows that he's a covenant-making God. Jeremiah 31:31. God is a covenant-making God. Behold, the days comes, yet the Lord, that I will do what? Make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Say, God makes covenants and God keeps covenants. You and I know that man is not like that. A man would swear. They would draw up a contract and still break it willfully. But God is a God who makes and keeps his covenant. And in fact, the way that he relates with us is through covenant. Say through covenant. God operates with us, and not just with us, with the entire universe, using the operating program or system of the covenant. Say covenant. So let's jump right into it. What is a covenant? What is a covenant? A covenant is not a contract. Say it's not a contract. You see, in a contract, both parties can amend the terms. You know, lawyers are here, right? So, for example, there's something I want to buy. They've sent me a contract, all right? They've sent me a contract with terms, conditions, and all of that. But, you see, I can amend it. I can reject it. I can add to it. I can take away from it. That's a contract. That's a contract. Amen. Okay. But with a covenant is a... And by the way, I know that sometimes they call your contract covenant, right? But that's not what I'm talking about. That's not the type of covenant I'm talking about. As we speak about covenant, we are speaking about the one between the sovereign God and his subjects and his people. Amen. And his creation. Amen. So that's what we're trying to define. A covenant is a sacred bond. Say a sacred bond. An agreement or an oath. An oath-bound relationship between two or more persons. I'll read it again. A covenant is a sacred bond. And that sacred is so important because it speaks of something that is divine. Something that is holy. Amen. Sacred is a sacred bond, agreement, an oath-bound, you know, oath-bound, one word with an hyphen, oath-bound relationship between two or more persons or parties. Another definition, it is a solemn agreement between two or more persons to do or not do a thing. It is a solemn agreement between two or more persons to do or not do a thing. I have mentioned in passing that in the general sense, the word we see, the word covenant in our day-to-day life really means contract. You know, that which you have a choice to accept or reject and amend and include or exclude. Amen. But when it comes to a covenant, it is final. Amen. A covenant is final because the sovereign one gives us his terms. Okay? And our job is merely to, you know, agree with it, you know, and obey it. And normally, in that relationship, okay, you normally will have the suzerain or the vassal. The vassal is the lesser person in the covenant. The suzerain is the higher person. So, in this case, God is the higher one, and we are the lower, you know, factors in that comment, in that covenant. And like I said, the terms are not amendable. You know, God says, this is what, you know, I want, and the job of man is to abide by it. Amen. And you see, and since God is a God of love and truth, therefore, a faithful God, he cannot violate the terms of what is his covenant, amen, or divine contract. But I choose to call it a covenant, amen. A covenant includes the following. It includes promises. Say promises, or what I call benefits. Say promises or benefits. And then it includes terms or conditions. And then it's normally, you know, ratified by blood, you know, or what you call a seal. It's normally sealed by blood or an oath. Amen. Amen. And this is so key because today, God will set people free. Whatever covenant is not of God that is speaking in your life, as the word of God goes forth, it will annul it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So we said, majorly, a covenant, you know, would have the following, you know, a promise or benefit, and then it will have terms or conditions. That terms and conditions includes your responsibility. Amen. It includes your responsibility and consequences of a breach of the covenant. Do you understand? Okay, if you do this, you have this. If you do this, this will happen. Okay? And then, it's many times, mostly, If you check the scripture, ratified by blood. See, ratified by blood. Go to Psalm 50 verse 5. 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 It says, gather my saints
together unto me. Those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice.
How? By what?
Sacrifice.
And I've shared here that there is no altar without sacrifice. And there is no sacrifice without what? The shedding of blood. When you hear the word sacrifice, it speaks of the shedding of blood. You know, the order of God is that we don't come before him without blood. Amen. So it's always with blood. So those of you who in your foolish and stupid days, permit me to say that, you were in love. And I said, yeah, cut me. Cut yourself. And then you go into a, and you think it's a joke. You've entered into a covenant. And the covenant makes you one. Makes you one. Say, makes you one. It's a bond. Remember we said it's a bond. Amen. But God will set people free. God will set people free. People have walked into things, or people are suffering from things that people did on their behalf. As the word goes forth, you'll be set free. So I said the relationship between God and man is operated by covenant. God has done it this way so that man can approach and interact with him. So a covenant is God's system, is God's way of making sure that we interface with him. See this way, that a covenant is like an operating system. Okay? It's an operating system. You know, and the Bible says there was the old covenant, which I prefer to call the first covenant. Say the first covenant. The Bible says in Hebrews 6 that he taketh away the first, that he may what? Establish the second. The reason why I call it the first is because many times when you call it the old, people think that it means you shouldn't read the old covenant. And people should change themselves. Because if you don't read the Old Testament, your revelation of Jesus will be shallow. Jesus says you should read those scriptures that in them they spoke of what? Him. Hallelujah. So I choose to call it the first covenant. Say the first covenant.
First covenant.
Hallelujah. So we said that God can be trusted to fulfill his part of the covenant. Why? Because the Bible says that God cannot lie. Hebrews 6:18. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. And very shortly, I will show you the consequences to God if he fails to honor his word. Yes, there's a consequence to him. Because, you see, his word is him. Say his word is him. So God cannot lie. Say, God cannot lie. Let me give you another scripture. Ezekiel 12:25. This is just the foundation. Ezekiel 12:25. Are we there? For I am the Lord.
I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord God.
Amen. So God speaks and does it. Say, God speaks and does it. So you can go to rest on God's part. The problem is always our part. The problem is always, man, you and I are flaky, we're unstable. You know, many times like, you know, toast to and fro. Let's go quickly to the different, let's see the different types of covenants in the Bible. Theologians disagree as to how many, but generally, okay, sometimes they sort of deduce from certain covenants and break them and make them more. But essentially there are between 5 and 7 major covenants in the Bible. Number one, there is the Adamic covenant. Say the Adamic covenant. Okay, let's look at it. Let's go to Genesis 3:5. We're not going to study them. We're just going to read them in out today. One to go.
For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened.
Go to 15. I beg your pardon.
And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
Amen. 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 So God had made a covenant, you know, when the serpent beguiled man to eat the fruit, and God was so wrought and made a covenant which we call the Adamic covenant. And that covenant was to see that the serpent that beguiled man will be judged. Let's go to the next one. We'll come back to that when we have time. The next one is what we call the Noahic covenant. Say Noahic covenant, from the word Noah. Say Noah. And this has to do with creation, you know, God's covenant, you know, with creation. Let's read from Genesis 9:9-15. Genesis 9:9-15.
And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there be any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh.
Amen. Can you read Genesis 8:22? Genesis 8:22.
While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease.
The reason why you can expect the sun to shine in the day, you know, expect it to set and rise, is because there is a covenant holding creation together. Amen. And God is saying to Noah, you know, this is after he destroyed the world with flood, you know, that he was making a covenant with him, you know, and creation, such that he was never going to destroy the earth with floods anymore. So on the basis of that, you can go to sleep that you won't wake up and, you know, the world is destroyed with flood. It may happen in, you know, places, but the word of God, which has put that covenant in effect, ensures that, you know, as sure as this earth and heaven stands, this world will not be destroyed by flood. It's because there is a covenant back in it. Say covenant back in it. The sun shines because there is a covenant back in it. The whole of creation, the order, the ecosystem, the beauty of creation is backed by a covenant. Jeremiah 33:20-26, very quickly. Jeremiah 33:20-26.
Thus saith the Lord, if ye can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David, my servant.
Stop. So you see God talking about the day and night. So you can go to bed. As long as Jesus does not come, you can bet that there will be night and day. Because it is backed by covenant. Say backed by covenant. Now, if night and day would not fail because of the covenant, why would your life fail? There is a covenant backing your life, and we will come there. Amen. Hallelujah. See, night and day does not need to pray to exist. But the word of God, the covenant, the operating system of the universe, which is the covenant of creation, that Noahic covenant ensures that night would follow day. Amen. And then the next is the Mosaic covenant. Somebody say the Mosaic covenant. Okay, let me just give you some more scriptures for the Adamic covenant. We don't have time. I'm just rushing off. Genesis 12, 1 to 3 and verse 7. Genesis 12, 1 to 3 and verse 7. Genesis 15. Genesis 17, 1 to 21. Please ensure you read that at home. So when the Mosaic covenant, right? So let's get the scripture. You know, when man sinned, remember, and one of the things I feel to add is that from beginning, the first place you find the mention of covenant is in Genesis 6. Genesis 6. You know, I believe, this is my personal opinion, that until sin came, God didn't have a plan to run the world that way. As soon as man violated, you know, the order of God through sin, God put in place a covenant. God put in place a covenant to help man relate with him. If you read the scripture, when God says, God spoke and said to themselves, let us make man in our image. He didn't need to make a covenant with the Trinity. Amen. Because God is perfect. Say, God is perfect. So one of the things you find about the covenant, it helps to check the excesses of man. Say, the covenant was God attempt to check man's excesses. Amen. Let me pull up the Mosaic scripture. Is somebody learning something already? Where are you, my notes? So we said the first one is what? Okay. I'll give you the scripture, and I think I mixed up my note. The next one is the Abrahamic covenant. Say the Abrahamic covenant. Say the Abrahamic covenant. Let's go to Exodus 19 verse 5. I'll come back to the Mosaic and give you the scripture. Exodus 19 verse 5. Please read for me. Exodus 19 verse 5.
Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine.
Hallelujah. Read Exodus 20, verse 22 to 23. Exodus 20, 22 to 23.
And the Lord said unto Moses, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold.
Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, yes, those scriptures, thank you, Jesus. Exodus 19, 5, Exodus 20, 23 are the references for the Mosaic covenant that God gave to Moses. You see, the Mosaic Covenants are also called the law covenant. Say the law covenant. That was God's, you know, idea to check, you know, the excesses of man. You know, it wasn't God's plan that we live by laws like that. But as soon as man failed, God, you know, brought about that system of worship with the over 600, you know, plus laws that, you know, were instituted just to help man relate with him. And when we go to the book of Hebrews, you will see that that was the old system of worship. We're going somewhere. Now, let's read the scripture on the Mosaic covenant. The Abrahamic covenant. Genesis 15. I love this particular one. Let's read from verse 1. It's a long read, but I want to show you something.
After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be.
Hallelujah.
And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees, to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away.
Stop. Go to verse 17. And then we'll begin to enter this.
And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates.
Amen. So God told him, get these doves, get these animals, and cut them into two. Say into two. And in verse 17, the Bible shows us that when the sun went down, it became dark, and behold, a smoking furnace came and passed in between. Say in between. Now, the word covenant in the Hebrew means berit. Say berit. Someone say berit. Now, berit is to cut. Say to cut. Essentially, the word covenant means to cut. Someone say to cut. I can't hear you. Say to cut. That's very important. It also means to divide between and pass in between. Say to divide in between and pass in between. Now, when God was going to cut a covenant with Abraham, and remember that in a covenant, there is what? An oath and a seal. Say an oath and a seal. So, there has to be a seal. Remember, we said that a covenant is made by blood. Say by blood. Now, to make that oath, you've got to swear by a higher deity. Now, so when God says that, you know, and Hebrews tells us, let's go to Hebrews. Let's see how Hebrew puts it. A covenant is powerful. Hebrews 6, 13 to 20. Please read for us. Hebrews 6, 13 to 20. Because some of you, The things that God has spoken to you, if you understand the series we are going to delve in, you will see that you activate those words. You activate the covenant over your life. Please read for us Hebrews 6, 13 to 20.
For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself.
Amen. So to effect a covenant, you've got to swear by a higher deity. But who is higher than God? So God had to swear by himself. And swearing by himself, the implication was, the day I fail in this covenant, I cease to exist as God. Hallelujah. I cease to exist as God. Please continue.
Saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise.
Stop. So God swore by his integrity. He swore by himself. He swore by his very existence. So if God went back on his promise, it means God will cease to be God. Say, God is not ready to cease to be God on my case. Hallelujah. So that word means to cut. And I'm going to say something very interesting here. It means to cut. Say to cut. Do you know that even the way the human anatomy is created, the male and female genitals, hope there are no teenagers here. Well, hopefully so. That when a man meets a woman, the idea of God from the definition of the covenant is that a man cuts through the woman. How many of you know that? Well, not most of you are not married, you do know by experience. Amen. So every time, and this is very powerful, every time a man cuts through a woman, he's initiating or activating covenant. What did I say? Say it again. Every time a man cuts through a woman, he initiates or activates covenant. Those of you sleeping with people who are not your wives, there's something wrong with you. Now, I'm entering the deep part now. Do you know that, sadly so, even in church, and by church I mean church of God, that there are people involved in casual sex? The idea of God was that the very first time a man cuts through, somebody say, cuts through. Never forget that. The word covenant means to cut through. That the idea of God was in the beginning, when a man cuts through a woman the first time, there is what? Blood. You see? You see? How many of us know your biology? That there is a hymen that protects the woman. You know? That her first, you know, sexual intercourse, you know, a man cuts through her, and there is a release of blood. That activity is very spiritual. That same activity that you find people cracking a joke about on the beer parlor. Omo, I just entered the babe. You are initiating a covenant. It's getting sober now, right? God will set people free. And if you're here and you're a guy, your job is to cut through people. You are cutting short your destiny. Do you know that people who are involved or who indulge in loose and careless sexual activities don't fulfill their destiny? The Bible says, be not what like what Esau, a fornicator, who sold what is birthright. The Bible uses, you know, Esau's analogy and draws a parallel with fornication. In other words, every time you indulge in fornication, you are selling your birthright. Yes, I wanted you to feel this way. I like it. I believe God wants us to share this word. Like I said, this is just, you know, foundation laying. Okay? But as we go deeper, God will set people free. So when you see a man who feels he's a bobo and his job is cutting through people, he's cutting his life short. Because what he's doing is he's initiating what? And activating covenant. It's even worse for a married person who is in a covenant relationship with someone else, who is cutting through other people or allowing people cut through them. The Bible says that the marriage bed must not be defiled. And there is judgment for those who defile the marriage bed. One of the things God wanted me to emphasize today, while I was preparing, I saw literally a lady's head cut off. A lady. I was having my bath. And this person is someone who is willfully, consistently indulging in illegal, illicit sexual activity. You're going to open up yourself to forces of destruction who will cut you short. One of the things I learned early as I accepted the call to ministry was that if I was going to attain the height that God has ordained for me, sexual purity must be number one. I could never be here if I was indulging in sexual immorality, sleeping around. You can't sustain what's happening in my life. You can't. You can't be jumping from one girl to the other and sing Yahweh Sabot and say, Lord, arise. The devil will kill you. And I'm not joking now. Don't laugh. Say covenant. Is somebody being blessed? Is it too hard for you? Because some of you are going through things. You are struggling. You are at the edge of a breakthrough. You are being oppressed. Things are happening in your life. You know this is not where you ought to be. But because you've been cutting covenants. You've been cutting covenants. You've been cutting through. Never forget that word. Whenever the devil comes to sit on your head to say, oh yeah, cut through this sister. Imagine a sword waiting to cut you too short. A covenant means to cut through. So God came, Genesis 14, and walked right in between that sacrifice and activated the covenant of Abraham that still holds sway today. Hope you know that the covenant of Abraham is still active today. Let's read it. Galatians 3:13. Is somebody being blessed? Is this a word of God to someone today? If you like, don't believe it. I believe it's the word from God. Yes, God said I should share it. Oh yeah, I'm not a pastor that wants to tell you what you want to hear. I'm sent to tell you what you need to hear. I knew from beginning that if I do this work and I'm cutting through people, cutting through the people I'm supposed to pastor, cutting through my girls in church, God will cut me short. And I have seen people's lives literally cut short. Anointed people. People with heavy destinies. Because they kept cutting. God kept warning. They kept initiating covenants. They kept activating covenants in places that they never ought to. And all of a sudden, their life was cautioned. May that not be your testimony. Galatians 3:13.
Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
Continue. Continue.
That the blessing of Abram might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Hallelujah. So the Abrahamic covenant is still active. The benefits of the covenant of Abraham in Genesis 12. Let's go to Genesis 12. They are still active today by faith. Say by faith. And you see, the Bible says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him what? Unto righteousness. Okay? And so I don't jump ahead of myself. You know, one of the things I was going to say, one of the ways we activate the covenant, the new covenant, because that's going to be the last covenant, is through faith. Through faith. Say through faith. And faith is not just a mental assent. Faith is equal to obedience. Say obedience. Go to Genesis 12. Let's read that, you know, blessing in the Abrahamic covenant.
Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed.
Stop. All of those blessings are embedded in the Abrahamic covenant. They are your portion even today. So greatness is in the covenant plan of God for you. Say greatness is in God's covenant plan for you. No believer is meant to be, you know, cheap and just, you know, helpless and stranded in life. It's a covenant matter. It's a covenant matter. And Abraham, our forefather, fulfilled the requirements because he believed God. You see, when he took Isaac, okay, and went by faith and sacrificed Isaac, because in his heart he had already killed Isaac. You know that scripture. He had already given up Isaac. He fulfilled his own requirement of that covenant. So the blessing of Abraham holds sway even today. Now let's run because of time. Let's go to the last one. The two. Davidic, just mentioning it, the Davidic covenant. Say the Davidic covenant. And then we'll look at the new covenant. Read from 2 Samuel 7 to 16. 2 Samuel 7, 7 to 16. 2 Samuel 7, 7 to 16.
In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people of Israel, saying, why build ye not me an house of cedar? Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more, as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house.
Hallelujah.
And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom.
Stop. Because of time, let's stop there. Hope you know that seed was talking about Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Okay, so David's covenant was going to see to the birth of the Messiah who was going to exact dominion. Okay, that everlasting kingdom. So David's covenant, the Davidic covenant, is a covenant of dominion. All right, let's read Psalm 89, 3 to 4. Psalm 89, 3 to 4. Psalm 89, 3 to 4.
I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations.
Hallelujah. Okay, but let's move to the new covenant, the one that concerns you and I. And then I'll give you some points and we'll close. The new covenant. Say the new covenant. Hallelujah. Oh, say, Father, we thank you for the new covenant. Now, let me say some things about it. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews 9. Tell somebody, thank you for the blood of Jesus. Verse 11. Let's read from verse 11.
But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and cows, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify it to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament.
Hallelujah. The word testament also means what? Covenant. So, Christ came. Remember that it's always by blood. Say by blood. So when he came, he made a way through his own flesh and by his blood, and entered into the holiest place, and he made a new and living way for you and I. And he, you know, mediated the new covenant on our behalf. And you see, when he did that, what are the terms of that new covenant? Remember, I tell you that the terms of the new, of every covenants have also got responsibility, right? What is your responsibility? Somebody say believe. Say believe. Believe means faith. What is faith? Faith means obedience. Say obedience. Every time you obey God, somebody say, every time I obey God, I am activating the power of the covenant. See, remember that as new Testament believers, the laws have been written on our hearts. The Holy Spirit has inscribed the word of God on our hearts. You know, and as he leads us, every time he leads us through the ministry of the word of God and we obey, we activate the power of the new covenant. So we activate the power of the new covenant. Now, let me just read the following for you and we pray. The knowledge of covenants reveals the following. Number one, God's faithfulness. Say, God's faithfulness. Why are we studying the covenant? Why do we need to know about the covenant? It shows us about God's faithfulness. Jeremiah 33 verse 20. Very quickly. Jeremiah 33 verse 20.
Thus saith the Lord, if ye can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers.
Amen. So every time God shows us covenant, he's trying to show us how faithful he is. What is faithfulness? The degree to which you keep your word. Say, faithfulness is the degree to which you keep your word. Now, people only trust you to the degree that you are faithful. You better write that down. Your level of trustability is proportionate to your level of faithfulness. If you are not a faithful person, don't blame people who don't believe you. When people trust you, it's because you have exhibited faithfulness. And faithfulness is simply put the degree to which you keep your word. And the idea of a covenant is God trying to say to you, I keep my word. Tell somebody, God keeps his word. Hebrews 10, 20 to 23, New Living Translation, I like this. Hebrews 10, 20 to 23. Hebrews 10, 20 to 23. Quickly.
By his death, Jesus opened a new and life. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly, without wavering, to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise.
Hallelujah. Tell somebody, God can be trusted. God can be trusted. So, one of the things we find from looking at the covenant of our God is God trying to show us that he keeps his word, that you can rest your life on him. Number two, the covenant shows us God's love, grace, and mercy. Number two, shows us, you know, God's love, grace, and mercy. Something that is very central to the idea of the covenant is God's redemption plan. Is God's redemption plan. When man fell, God instituted this series of covenants. And you see them, they culminated in the new covenant. And the idea of the new covenant, central to that idea, is the redemption of man. Amen. So when we look at the covenant, we are looking at God's love, God's grace, God's mercy, God's effort at rescuing man. Say the covenant. Say the new covenant is God's effort at rescuing and redeeming man. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:8.
Wherein he had abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had proposed in himself.
Please read 1:7. I think it's 1:7. I beg your pardon.
In whom we have redemption through his blood.
Hallelujah. We have redemption. Say, we have redemption. And it is that blood, the blood of the New Testament, that powers the New Testament. And Jesus says, through that blood, we have redemption. So one of the things that the covenant shows us is the redemptive plan of God. Amen. Amen. Number three, it shows us the way of worship, the mode of worship, how we approach God, how we interact with God. I'm not going to ask us to read there. Note Hebrews 9:1, verse 10 to 12 and verse 13. Read that up at home. The covenant, the study of the covenant helps us to know how to interact with God. You know, the mode of worship is essentially the way that we are meant to interact with this God. The way they interacted with God in the old covenant was, you know, through animal sacrifices. Okay? It wasn't an inside-out relationship. It was a lot of religion and routines. But the new covenant brought the substance, life, whereby, you know, through the eternal sacrifice, through Jesus' sacrifice, you and I can come boldly. Nobody goes, you know, to God to seek God for you. Amen. So the covenant, the new covenant brought us a better way with better promises. It's also called the covenant of promise. Say the covenant of promise. Finally, the covenant shows us our inheritance in Christ. See our inheritance in Christ. Hebrews 9:15, our final scripture, and we'll pray. Hebrews 9:15.
And for this cause, he's the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance.
Amen. So the covenant makes known to us our eternal inheritance. In other words, what is in this for you? And there are true riches. Say true riches. Found in this covenant, especially the new covenant. We're going to stop there, you know, now. But I want everyone's eyes to be closed because it's a series. Everybody's eye closed because every time we share this, it's going to be deliverance. My focus today, as I mentioned, if you are here and I'm not going to ask you to do it in your heart, you know, because you've got to activate this covenant. Remember I said we activate it through what? Obedience. See, obedience. Yes, you've given your life to Christ, but you see, there are benefits, there are treasures, there are inheritances in this new covenant. But we initiate and activate them through faith and obedience. If you are here this morning, first call, and you know when it comes to sexual purity, you've lived your life recklessly. You are the type who, and I want everyone's eye closed. Everybody's eyes closed. This is very important. This is one of the main things for today. Because God wants to set people free. You want to activate the power in the new covenant to silence those covenants that you made from place to place. You are here. You know you've lived recklessly, cutting through people you are not married to. And you know that those covenants you've made with people are speaking against you. I want you, I'm not going to ask you to do it in your heart. You are going to respond with obedience. You are going to stand wherever you are. Nobody else is. If you open your eyes, you are in disobedience. If you like, sit down. If you like, but God wants to set you free. There's nothing to be ashamed of. You are born again, but you know you've been cutting through people. You've made covenants. I want to, by the covenant of the blood, annul and ask God to show you mercy. Anybody else? Anybody else? I'm going to count up to 10. If you don't stand, I'm going to shut it down and that grace will go. 1, 2, 3, including you are cutting through people and people have cut through you. Stand. 4, 5, 6, 7. I stand here representing Christ Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. 8, 7, 8, 9. When I count 10, nobody else, Father, at the count of 10, nobody else would enjoy this grace. I'm about to count 10. This is a very holy moment. God wants to set you free. God wants to set you free. You are here. You've defiled the marriage bed. This is a very serious moment. You have an opportunity of a lifetime. 10. Now, those of you standing, I want you to open your mouth and begin to tell God you are sorry. Say, Lord, I am sorry. I am sorry. I have heard your word today. I have initiated and activated ungodly covenants. And those covenants are speaking against me. I have violated my covenant with you, because if you are a believer, you are in covenant with God. But you violated your own terms of it. I'm activating the power in the blood of Jesus because I'm going to pray for you. Nobody who did not stand should come to me in the office. This is the demand now. The demand of obedience is that you stand and humble yourself. Say you are sorry. Place your hands on your head right now as I pray this prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus the Christ, I stand as a minister of the new covenant. I stand on the authority of your blood and to declare over these ones who have responded in obedience that their sins are thereby forgiven. I declare every covenant they have initiated and activated annulled by the blood of Jesus. Your word says you blotted out every handwriting of ordinances that was against us. You took it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. By the blood of Jesus, that blood of the superior covenant, the New Testament in your blood, we declare you free. Free. You are free. Go and sin no more. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now be seated. If you are here, you are not born again. You are not born again. It means you are not in covenant with Jesus. You are not in covenant with Jesus. You are not born again. Jesus is not the Lord of your life. When you believe this thing I'm saying and respond, then you will get into a covenant, a blood covenant with Jesus, because he has shed the blood already. And that's why we take the Holy Communion from time to time to proclaim the Lord's death. If you are here and you are not born again, you want to get into a covenant with Jesus, a covenant with better promises, a covenant where you are sure that he has kept his side of the bargain. Wherever you are, eye closed, raise your hands and let me pray for you. Raise your hands quickly, quickly, quickly. God bless you. God bless you. Those of you raising your hands, can you come to me quickly? Run quickly and let's close. Come, 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 come. When you obey like Abraham, you get into a covenant with Jesus. That's what it is. Being born again means that you are in covenant, a sacred agreement with Jesus, where you are sure he keeps his part of the bargain. You are eternally saved as long as you believe in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Keep clapping as they come. Keep clapping as they come. Please, if you want to get into a covenant with Jesus, in other words, you want to be born again, come to Jesus. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. This is a covenant hour, because we're going to pray two covenant prayers. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Ministers, please attend to them. The rest of us stand. Now raise your hands. You've made the greatest decision of your life. Being born again means that you have come into covenant with God through his son Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, brokered by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And when you are in covenant with God, God can be trusted. Say, God can be trusted. As long as you believe him, you obey him. Say with me, Lord Jesus, today I renounce my sin. I break off every evil covenant speaking against me. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you came to this earth to die for me. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me from my sins and write my name in the book of life. I confess you. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. And I declare I am born again. I am in covenant with you for life and forever, for all eternity. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Please clap for them. Father, I declare, put your hands on your head, every one of them here saved to the uttermost in the name of the Lord Jesus. Every evil covenant against you is broken. It's broken. It's broken. It's broken. In Jesus' mighty name. Please go with those lovely sisters there. They will talk to you for a while and then you come back. Don't keep them for too long, because we're going to pray together. Amen. Have you been blessed? Have you learned something on the covenant? Now, a covenant needs to be activated. Now, let us activate one of them, the covenant of life. Say, the covenant of life. We are going to activate the covenant of life and the covenant of mercy. The new covenant is a covenant of mercy. Amen. But you are going to activate it with words. First, the covenant of life. Malachi 2:5. I saw in a vision of the night today as I prayed, someone was struggling to get up a church building. It was so packed like our church, struggling to get up, get up there, and then there was no space. But a door just opened. And when that door opened, two funny-looking old people, a man and a woman, drew the person inside the house, inside a hole. It was like a hole. And by the time they entered the hole, the people who were looking pleasant before changed their disposition. And I knew that was the spirit of death pulling someone away. We are going to stop that. We are going to, you know, nip it in the bud by activating the covenant of life. Amen. Malachi 2:5. And I want you to pray this with all seriousness. What did I say? Malachi 2:5. Let's read. One, two, go. My covenant was with him of life and peace. Are you ready to pray? You are going to pray with fervency. Place your hands on your head. Say, Father!
Father!
The God of my covenant.
The God of my covenant.
I declare. Deliverance.
Deliverance.
From untimely death.
From untimely
death. Let the covenant of your life.
Let the covenant of your life.
And of peace.
And of peace.
Speak on my behalf.
Speak on my behalf.
Speak over this house.
Speak over this house.
Speak over my family.
Speak over my family.
Now clap your hands and stamp your feet and pray. Let the covenant of life and of peace speak for me.
Let it speak over this house. Let it speak over me. Shakunelekebe, ikupelekete, erikapelekete, ikaikapelekete, elaikupelekete, ikopelekete.
Every appointment with untimely death, by reason of the covenant of life and peace, is annulled, is cancelled. You better pray. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Say, I activate the covenant of life over my family, over myself. That spirit of death has no hold over me. Say, the voice of strangers shall not hear. The voice of a stranger shall not hear. The covenant of life and peace speaks in my life. It speaks in my life. It speaks. He speaks in my life. Let life. Somebody say, by the blood of Jesus, let the covenant of your life speak. Open your mouth and pray. You activate it by words.
Let us speak, O Lord. We have perfected, O Lord. We have perfected the covenant of life. Let us speak of our life.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Please look for this scripture. Have respect on your covenant, for the dark places of the earth are filled of habitation of cruelty. The way you activate your covenant promise is through obedience and the spoken word. Say, through obedience. And the spoken word, through obedience, and the spoken word. So when I say pray, you've heard testimonies in this house. Now you're going to activate the covenant of mercy. The new covenant, the new testament, is a covenant of mercy. Ephesians 2:4, Hebrews 4:16, Ephesians 2:4. Okay, good. First, have respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of quality. In other words, keep to the terms of this covenant, for there's evil in the world. That's what it is. Say, Lord, respect the terms that you have made in this covenant, because there's darkness in the world. There's evil in the world. Amen. Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is what? Rich. For his great love wherewith he hath loved us. Hebrews 4:16. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore do what? Come boldly unto the obtain mercy. Say, Father,
Father,
by reason of the new covenant, which speaks mercy. Show me your mercy. Show us your mercy. Clap your hands and stamp your feet and pray. Show me your mercy. Show us your mercy.
It is a covenant of mercy. Lord, show us your mercy. Lord, show us your mercy. Lord, show us your mercy. By reason of this New Testament covenant, oh Lord, which is found of mercy, we come before you for your mercy, oh Lord. For your mercy, oh Lord. Show us your mercy, Lord. Show us your mercy, Lord. In company, Rabban.
Show us your mercy. Show us your mercy. Show me your mercy.
Show us your mercy, O Lord. He could likapata a raikunepede, he copado, a rikai kai koto, retunehita.
Say, by reason of your blood, show me your mercy. 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 One more minute. Show us your mercy. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Place your hand on your head. Father, I activate. No, don't pray. Father, I activate the mercy that was shown us by reason of the covenant of the new with better promises. From today, everyone under the sound of my voice and those online, let your life begin to speak of God's mercy.
Amen.
Whatever you did before now, whatever was done on your behalf before now, that have hitherto been speaking judgment against you, I stand as a prophet of God and as the minister of that new to declare an end has come.
Amen.
An end has come.
Amen.
An end has come.
Amen.
You are the one that God has shown mercy.
Amen.
There is somebody here, you've been applying for jobs for long. That embargo is lifted.
Amen.
This week, you get a job.
Amen.
And on Sunday, you share the money.
Amen.
As a sign from God.
Amen.
Now, lift up your heart and thank God. Deliverances have happened. Hebrews 10:26. Let me give a note of warning. What, it may look like a simple service, but I release a powerful word here on covenants. Some of you will begin to sleep and you will have dreams, revelations. Because when we speak in this manner and activate the power of the covenant, you start having reactions. The devil may come to blackmail you. He's a liar. Give me the NLT 10:26. Because of what we've done today, let me leave this warning. You are here, somebody tells you, let's go to one baba somewhere. We'll deal with that maybe next week also or later. Don't go and cut a covenant with the devil. Hebrews 10:26. Let's read. One to go. Dear friends, if we deliberately what? Continue sinning. What did you receive today? What will happen? There's no longer
any sacrifice that will cover this sin.
Listen. I'm a grace person. I believe in the grace of God. I believe in eternal salvation based on God's credibility. Let me explain that. I'm going to explain that maybe next week. People speak of eternal salvation in the context of you can still do anything you want and you'll be saved. Ask James and Jambres. They walked away and they lost their salvation. So it's in the context of God's credibility. In other words, when it comes to Him, my path is sure, your salvation is sure, but you can choose to walk away from it. You can choose to just mess around with the grace of God and just cheapen that grace. Put it there, put the scripture. What does Paul say? After you've received what the knowledge of the truth, what will happen? There is no longer what? Any sacrifice that will cover these sins. What will remain? Next. There is only what? Terrible. And the raging fire. Tell somebody, don't be an enemy of God.
Don't be an enemy of God.
Mercy has broken through today. Don't go back to your folly. God bless you. Give Him a round of applause. Give Him a shout of praise. Keep clapping. Keep clapping. Keep clapping.